hottest pregame show in minor league baseball. Live from Ripken Stadium, it's the Air Show with Michael, Mark Antonini, Hardy Mark, and Ray. Let's set it down to home plate for tonight's show.
What's up, Ironbirds fans? It's another beautiful night for baseball here in Aberdeen, Maryland, as we get set for game one of three between your Aberdeen Ironbirds and the visiting Greensboro Grasshoppers. Michael Mark Antonini with Ray Atkinson alongside me. We'll hear from Party Mark in just a little bit. Photo Joe on the camera as always. Well, Ray, it's 4th of July here in Aberdeen. Beautiful night for a ball game. You can't really ask for better weather. And we get to see a baseball game out in front of us tonight. Can't really ask for much more than that.
You know, they say the All-Star game is the Midsummer Classic, but I got to say, 4th of July baseball is more of the Midsummer Classic. For us, it's literally the halfway point for the home games for here in 2025, and we couldn't ask for better weather. This is fantastic. Not a cloud in the sky. 4th of July baseball, what more can you get? Get yourself some hot dogs, some burgers. It's currently happy hour, so you get them for a discount. Yeah, I'm ecstatic for tonight.
Yeah, sign me up for all of the above right there. The vibes are immaculate at the ballpark tonight. We've got a great crowd on hand. More are going to file in. It is going to be electric. We got Ripcord here vibing. Ferris is somewhere. But, Ray, I mean, Ironbirds have been playing some better baseball lately. They just wrapped up a 9-game road trip. They started it with 6 against the Hub City Spartanburgers down in South Carolina, and then 3 against the Greensboro Grasshoppers with the front end of this home-and-home series. The Birds went 4-5. But, Ray, I want to talk about the offense. The Birds scored 5-plus runs in 4 of those 9 games. Seems like this team is heating up with the bats.
They got to be able to heat up at the right time, and now we're in the second half of the season. It starts over as a clean slate. For those that are not familiar with the rules of long season minor league baseball, this wasn't 1-point short season, but in long season nowadays, literally, it's a tale of two halves. So in the first half, you had your first half champions, but then it's 0-0, and it starts over in the second half, and you could have a second half champions. And that could be very much the Ironbirds, especially if you get the bats heated up at the right time.
Yeah, we'll see if this Ironbirds team can get hot. This is game one of a 9-game homestand now, 3 against Greensboro and then 3 against Jersey Shore next week. Well, Ray, of course, it's 4th of July. We had to break out the red, white, and blue. So I planned this out. Got the red microphone, the white shorts, the blue shirt. I mean, I'm playing chess. Everybody else is playing checkers out here.
I mean, I was kind of playing backgammon, or what was the one that's in the back of checkers? Baccarat or something like that? Anyway, I got the short end of the stick with the yellow microphone, but otherwise, I do have the blue and the red, at least. Yeah.
Well,
so,
there's
that.
Well, I appreciate the red shoes. Those are awesome, and they match the microphone. I'm going to throw it to our guy, Party Mark, to keep this pregame show going. Party Mark, let us know what's going on at the ballpark tonight and the rest of this homestand.
Hello, hello, Ironbirds fans. How are we doing today? No. Do you see what we've done with this place? You see all the netting that we just put up? Ferris let us borrow all of his fishnet stockings to put this up and keep you guys safe. This is the most full I've ever seen in this stadium. Can you guys make some noise for me? I said, Ironbirds fans, how are you doing? That's beautiful. That's the most noise I've ever heard in this stadium. What we've got going on this weekend, we got some fireworks coming up tonight. Are you guys excited for fireworks? I just want to see how many times you guys are going to keep making noise. You think we got one more? Well, the fans are fired up. Ripcord and Ferris are fired up. Party Mark's fired up. Mike and Ray are fired up. The fans are fired up. Let's play some baseball.
Hey, fire me up, Party Mark. I love it. All right, so the Ironbirds are getting to open up this 9-game homestand, Ray. We want to see the Birds get back in the win column. But, again, 4th of July at the ballpark, beautiful weather. I mean, this is a vibe here.
A super amount of vibe. I think that section behind us has got some serious vibes going on. I'm digging it. But, yeah, I was correct. It was backgammon. That was the game on the back of checkers. But it's not only tonight that we have fun this weekend. July 5th, oh, my goodness, it's the countdown to Maryland 250. And then July 6th, we have another Crab Feast. It is the best deal in all of minor league baseball. You got to get your tickets to GoIronBirds.com because crabs, baseball, all-you-can-eat crabs, it's a winning combination.
It's going to be a fun weekend here at Ripken Stadium, and it starts tonight on 4th of July. For Party Mark and my guy Ray Atkinson, my name is Michael Mark Antonini. Of course, our trusted bird, Ferris. That's it for the Air Show. First pitch coming up at 7:05. Let's have some fun, and you guys know how we do it. Let's fly.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, turn your attention to the pitcher's mound for tonight's special ceremonial first pitch. Tonight's ceremonial first pitch, Command Sergeant Major Jay High. Nicely done. Command Sergeant Major Jay High currently serves as the 20th Command Sergeant.
It's a beautiful night for baseball here in Aberdeen, Maryland, as we get set to play game one of three this weekend between your Aberdeen Ironbirds and the visiting Greensboro Grasshoppers. It's baseball on the 4th of July. You can't ask for much more than that, and it is a picture-perfect night here in Aberdeen. Michael Mark Cantonini, the voice of the Ironbirds, live from Ripken Stadium here in Aberdeen. Well, baseball fans, it is going to be a really fun one tonight in the Dean. We are expecting a sold-out season-high crowd tonight in the Dean here at Ripken Stadium. The atmosphere is going to be electric. Like I said, picture-perfect night for a ball game. Light blue skies, sun shining, no clouds off in the distance, and just a little bit of a breeze. No humidity either. It is a beautiful night for a ball game. The Ironbirds return home after 9 games on the road. They went 4-5 on that 9-game road trip. And overall on the season, they sit at 29-48, but 5-7 in the second half. On the flip side, the Grasshoppers are 54-23 overall, with the best overall record in the South Atlantic League. They are 9-3 in the second half of play. They've continued to roll. Good matchup on hand tonight. We'll get you the starting pitching matchup and the starting lineups in just a little bit. But first, let's hear from Ironbirds manager Ryan Gaul talking all things Ironbirds from the road trip this past week and a half, recapping that, and also talking about some good 4th of July and baseball memories over the years. So before we go any further here on a beautiful night for a ball game in Aberdeen, let's hear from Ironbirds manager Ryan Gaul.
Michael Mark Cantonini here on the Ironbirds Broadcast Network. I've got Ironbirds manager Ryan Gaul joining me. Ryan, always a pleasure to have you on the pregame show. Thanks for taking the time.
Yeah, absolutely. It's great to be back in Aberdeen.
You guys just came back from a 9-game road trip down in Spartanburg, South Carolina for 6 against Hub City, and then 3 to start this series in Greensboro, the home-and-home series. How'd everything go across the 9 games?
Yeah, Hub City, we started off and split that series, but that was a good matchup against both teams. Couple walk-offs that kind of hurt us a little bit, but ultimately just to get out of that with 3 wins was awesome. And then we went to Greensboro and won the first game and then dropped the last two. But, you know, ultimately I thought the team's been playing well and just got to find ways to execute at the back end of the game.
But yesterday, playing the day game down in Greensboro and then the long bus ride back to Aberdeen and got the night game tonight. How's everybody feeling?
Yeah, it's a long day of travel, right? Play a noon game and then travel back on bus for about 7 to 8 hours. It's a long day. So ultimately just trying to make sure our guys get adequate rest and feel good today coming into July 4th game, which is always a fun one for both the fans, but then also the players playing. And yeah, I think everyone's feeling well and should be a good matchup tonight.
So let's talk about this 4th of July game tonight, America's birthday. I know you've been part of a lot of baseball in the 4th of July throughout your baseball career and even your playing days before that. To you, I mean, what does it mean in general, just being able to play on the 4th of July and celebrate the United States?
Yeah, it's awesome. I think just with our proximity to Baltimore, I think that's where a lot of this is happening with the Star-Spangled Banner being written there. So I think just being that historic site, it's pretty cool. And then also just playing on the 4th of July, I think it's a fun day just with the atmosphere of the fans engaged and the fireworks post-game. Just as a fun environment for all that take part.
Sold-out crowd tonight. It should be a really fun one. Do you have any specific 4th of July baseball memories that stand out over the years?
The most fond that I can think of is going to Brooklyn in one of the years of 21 or 22 and seeing Joey Chestnut in the hot dog eating contest just there on Coney Island. I feel that was a pretty cool July 4th memory and just the sight that you see in New York City on the 4th. It was pretty eventful.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty cool to be able to witness that and be there for that. Let's talk a little bit about this Ironbirds team and what's going on with the squad lately. Recently, during the last homestand, you guys had Tyler O'Neill from the Baltimore Orioles join you for one game to start his rehab assignment. Anytime you get a big leaguer down in the minors rehabbing and getting to work with the guys and have them pick that big leaguer's brain, it's always a positive. So what was it like for your guys having Tyler around?
Yeah, just seeing what he does day to day and how he goes about his business on his day. It was his birthday, so it was pretty cool to be able to spend it with him. But ultimately, just being able to have them watch his pregame routine and then also what he does in the game and interact, I thought that was a cool moment and has been for all the other major league guys that have kind of been through our clubhouse and made it as a stopping point to get them back to the major leagues.
You guys also had T.T. Bones on minor league rehab from AAA Norfolk, and that's a guy that you've been able to work with throughout his career earlier in his career in Aberdeen. So another guy who's not a big leaguer, but he's working his way there. What was it like for the guys to be able to work with T.T.?
Yeah, T.T.'s been through a lot, and just to have his experience level to relate with the guys is impactful. Anytime they can just ask questions on how his experience was in Aberdeen, how he dealt with adversity and kind of got to the level he's playing at right now. I think that's always a positive. Don't always want to have rehabs in attendance, but, you know, it's part of the game and it's something you have to deal with. And so for him coming in and just being willing to talk to the guys and provide experience, I think that's just a whole big attribute for everyone that kind of comes through on those experiences. Yeah.
One thing I want to touch on with the offense here on this Ironbirds team is 5+ runs in 4 of those 9 games on the road trip. Seems like the guys are heating up with the bats a little bit. What are you noticing from an offensive standpoint?
Yeah, ultimately it just comes down to executing and runners in scoring position at bats. And when you can do that, I think that's where the runs come from. And just finding ways to get on base and, you know, whether it's move a guy over through the bat or steal the next base, I think that's kind of the things that we're working on. And ultimately when we execute, it's the reflection on the scoreboard.
Couple of guys coming back from injury recently. One of them, outfielder Tomas Sosa, who is just a great guy to have back in the clubhouse. Great personality, great bat. You know, what's it like, you know, adding the length to the lineup, getting him back?
Oh, it's awesome. You know, he's one of the glues for our team and, you know, someone that we missed dearly at the beginning. But to have him back right now is beneficial. Just what he can do with relations on the Latin side, but then also the American side, I think is impactful. And his bat's awesome to be added back into the lineup. Just a lefty power bat and a guy that just finds ways to get on base, which, you know, that's ultimately what you want as a manager. And he's just a great human being. So love having him back. Was missed, but, you know, glad that he's here.
Another guy that you got back on the pitching side, Reese Sharp. He missed all of last season while recovering from an injury, missed most of this year, goes through a little bit of rehab, gets back. I mean, how awesome is it to have a guy go through that process and come back healthy?
Yeah, you know, it's he's been through a lot, and just to be able to see him back right now is awesome. And he had a pretty good outing this last Thursday, so yesterday down in Greensboro, but love to just see him out there on the mound competing, and he looked good.
Into the second half here, stretch run, last couple months of the season, what are you excited to see from your guys moving forward the rest of the way?
Yeah, just coming to the ballpark every day, competing. You know, it's pretty much a brand new season, win-loss record, and just want to have them kind of settle in at the back end and, you know, compete for the last 2 months, which is impactful and almost can kind of change an entire season. So pretty much just looking for them to compete and balance out a new second half.
Ryan Gall, the Ironbirds manager, here with me on the pregame show. Ryan, thanks for taking the time.
Thank you.
Michael Mark Cantonini here on the Ironbirds.
So there is Ironbirds manager Ryan Gall chatting with me for the pregame show from earlier today. Always great to talk with Ryan. He has a really good perspective on this team, not only because he is the manager of this Ironbirds team, but because he was the development coach last season here in Aberdeen and during the 2022 season. It's his 6th year overall in the O's organization. So getting the perspective from Ryan as the season goes on is something that I've really tried to do quite a bit, because he communicates with these guys well. He knows what he's doing in that role. And he always gives a great summary of what goes on with the squad on the road and all of that. So hope you enjoyed the interview with Ryan and, of course, that the 4th of July memory he shared with the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest up in Brooklyn. So we're going to tie in the theme of 4th of July into the broadcast tonight throughout, and it is going to be a fun one here at Ripken Stadium. Well, we are going to pause for the national anthem in Aberdeen, and when we come back, it'll be time for the lineups and the pitching matchup here before game 1 of 3 between the Ironbirds and the visiting Greensboro Grasshoppers. We'll take a break for the anthem right now. Stick with me on MILB TV and Bally Live.
Or the ram, pardon you all.
Just about ready for first pitch here in Aberdeen, Maryland. On the 4th of July, baseball on the 4th of July, it really doesn't get much better than that. Ironbirds fans, Grasshoppers fans, baseball fans, I'm excited to be bringing you the action tonight here in Aberdeen. Well, right-hander Cohen Aiken gets the ball for the Ironbirds tonight. Naturally, a Canadian-born pitcher is starting for the Ironbirds on America's birthday, but I figured I'd throw that out there. But Cohen Aiken gets the ball for the Birds tonight, and this is the lineup behind him. Leading off in center field, Austin Over, and batting second, the second baseman, Griff O'Farrell. Aaron Estrada is the DH. He bats third. Anderson De Los Santos is at third base, batting fourth. Leandro Arias, the shortstop, hits fifth. Anudis Mordaunt is at first base in the sixth hole. Jake Cunningham is in left field, batting seventh. Ryan Stafford, the right fielder, bats eighth. And rounding out the lineup, batting ninth, it's the catcher, Cole Ehrman. So that is the lineup for the Ironbirds behind right-hander Cohen Aiken, who continues his warm-up tosses. And here is the lineup that he will face for the Greensboro Grasshoppers. Leading off at shortstop, Connor Griffin, batting second, the second baseman, Kaner Delgado. Will Taylor's the DH, he bats third. Javier Rivas is at third base, batting fourth. P.J. Hilson, the center fielder, bats fifth. Titus Dimitru is in left field in the sixth hole. Emmanuel Torero is in right field, batting seventh. Giovanni Plancart is at first base in the eighth hole. And rounding out the lineup, batting ninth, it's the catcher, Derek Berg. Right-hander Christian Curtis gets the ball for the Grasshoppers tonight in front of what is a sold-out season-high crowd at Ripken Stadium in Aberdeen. We'll get you the final number on that attendance mark at the end of the game because people are still filing in. We still don't know the final total, but it is going to be a season-high crowd based on projections and tickets sold. So shout-out to the entire Ironbirds front office on getting those tickets sold and getting people in the ballpark tonight for what will be a really fun game. And I'm going to make it a really fun broadcast, as I always try to do. 4th of July baseball in Aberdeen, the first 4th of July game in my tenure as the Ironbirds broadcaster. So I am excited to be here to open up a 9-game homestand for the Ironbirds. Aiken on the mound, and Connor Griffin, the Pirates' number 2 overall prospect, is in the box. The right-handed swinger ready to rock. First pitch from Aiken sent in the air pretty straight away to center. Overn a couple steps back, shading his eyes from the sun, makes the catch. And that is a huge out number one for Cohen Aiken, getting one of the hottest hitters on the planet on one pitch to start the game. So one up, one down on the fly ball to center. And that brings up the switch-hitting second baseman, Kaner Delgado. To get Connor Griffin, who's got an OPS of 950 combined between low A and high A this year. I mean, that's massive at the top. They'll see him plenty more throughout this weekend series, but a good start. First pitch to Delgado is in for a strike, and it's 0-1. Cohen Aiken stands 6 feet 2 inches tall. He's 23 years old in his first pro season. He is from the province of Alberta in Canada, from the Calgary area. 0-1, that's outside, 1-1. 8 games, 7 starts for Aiken as an Ironbird this season. He has also made 3 appearances for Low A Delmarva. That's where he started his pro career earlier this year. 2 appearances for Double A Chesapeake in addition to that. But a bulk of his work with the Ironbirds. 1-1, sent in the air, left center, not too deep. Cunningham is over, and he's there to make the catch. 2 flyouts to start the night for the Grasshoppers. That brings up Will Taylor, the DH. And now let's set the defense for the Ironbirds. Cole Ehrman is behind the plate catching for Aiken. Then around the infield, Anderson De Los Santos at third. Leandro Arias at short. Griff O'Farrell's at second, and Anudis Mordaunt is at first. Then in the outfield, Jake Cunningham in left, Austin Overn in center, and Ryan Stafford in right. So 2 gone, no one on. Here's Taylor, the DH. Very right-handed heavy lineup for the Grasshoppers. First pitch from Aiken, breaking ball off the plate. And the count's 1-0. 4.15 ERA for Aiken through 34 and two-thirds entering play tonight. 29 strikeouts, 15 walks. The strikeout rate is about 19%. The walk rate about 10%. 1-0, fouled away. It's 1-1. A big stat for Aiken, though. This is key. He's got a ground ball rate of 50.5% this season. That means he's getting just a little bit more than half of his outs on ground balls. So he is at his best when he's keeping the ball down in the zone and opponents are beating it into the ground. 1-1 pitch coming from Cohen. That catches the inside part of the plate. It's 1-2. No score, top of the first, just underway. Aberdeen and Greensboro here in the Dean. Dominic Romero is the home plate umpire tonight. Tatum Littleton is on the bases. And now Taylor steps out. Count is 1-2 with two outs and no one on here in the top of the first. Shadow coverage across the infield, and the outfield sun is shining through. Not much of a breeze. Here's the 1-2 from Aiken, high and away. That flag in center has now picked up a little bit. It's just kind of waving just ever so slightly. Not enough that you can call it wind, more so just a little bit of a breeze in the air. But not really much humidity today. It's hot, but it feels good. 2-2, breaking ball slapped out to short. Nice pick there by Arias. Throws off 1 foot to first, inning over. That's a nice job by Cohen Aiken to retire the Grasshoppers 1-2-3 and do it quickly in that. So the Grasshoppers go down in order. No score after a half inning of play. We'll go to the bottom of the first and see if the Ironbirds can score first here on the 4th of July in Aberdeen. Bottom of the first inning from Ripken Stadium in Aberdeen. Michael Mark Cantonini with you on the call. No score after the top of the first. Cohen Aiken set down the Grasshoppers 1-2-3 on just 9 pitches. Now here in the home half of the first, Austin Overn, Griff O'Farrell, and Aaron Estrada are the top three in Ryan Gaul's batting order tonight. Overn in center field. Left-handed swinger is the only traditional lefty in the lineup. A couple of switch hitters, but everybody else a right-handed batter. Third baseman Rivas comes in a little bit, respecting over and speed. First pitch to him, low and in, and it's 1-0. Right-hander Christian Curtis on the mound for Greensboro, 6'5 righty, 23 years old in his second pro season. Started his college career at Texas A&M, finished at Arizona State. 12th round pick in 2023. 1-0 outside, 2-0. 5-pitch mix for Curtis, fastball, curveball, slider, cutter, change. He is the Pirates' number 24 overall prospect, according to MLBPipeline.com. And now the 2-0 to Overn. That's high and away. Ball three. 15 starts for Curtis this year. He has been really consistent, taking the ball at least once a series for the Grasshoppers. 5.20 ERA, 55 and a third innings of work. 63 punchouts, though. He's striking out over 10 batters per nine. Now the 3-0 to Overn. That one's in there for a strike, 3-1. Walks have been a little bit of an issue for Curtis. 31 in those 55 and a third, walking about 5 per 9. Opponents have a 798 OPS against him. Looking to come all the way back. Here's the 3-1 to Overn. Shows bunt, stabs at it, and missed. It's 3-2. Saw the third baseman Rivas back and decided to try to drop one down. It did not work. And now Overn likely will swing away with two strikes on him. From 3-0 to a full count, we'll see what happens. Lefty shift on for Overn. He's got the entire third base line if he wants it. Payoff pitch, swing and a miss. Fastball got him. Looked a little bit late, and Curtis comes all the way back from 3-0 to pick up a strikeout. Let's set the defense for Greensboro. Derek Berg is catching with Javier Rivas at third, Connor Griffin at short, Kaner Delgado at second, and Giovanni Plancard at first. In the outfield, Titus Dimitru in left, P.J. Hilson in center, and Emmanuel Torero in right. Rivas even with the bag at third for O'Farrell, the righty bat, at second base tonight. First pitch to Griff off the plate. O'Farrell is riding a season-high tying 8-game on-base streak. Second time he's reached safely in 8 straight. See if he can make it 9. 1-0. That one missed just a little bit inside, 2-0. O'Farrell had a pretty solid road trip at Hub City in Greensboro. He went 7 for 26 with a .394 on base percentage during that trip. Finding ways on base. Hitters count 2-0. Make it 3-0 now, and Curtis has fallen behind 3-0 on the first two Ironbirds hitters. O'Farrell drove in 3 runs on the road trip, walked 6 times, more than he struck out, just 5 punch-outs. And he was 4 for 5 swiping bags. 3-0, a take, and that's a called strike. Well, now Curtis will have to try to come all the way back again. This Ironbirds team is only averaging 3.9 runs per game this season, but they have been swinging the bats well lately. 3-1, slashed foul, right side counts full. The Ironbirds scored 5-plus runs in 4 of the 9 games on the road trip over the last week and a half. It took them 27 games to score at least 5-plus runs 4 times over their previous month. I mean, that is a tough ratio there, but it just goes to show you the progress they're making with the bats. Curtis ready. Here's a 3-2 to O'Farrell. Liner to second, but stabbed out of the air by Delgado. 2 gone in the first. I mean, that's definitely an eye-popping stat. It starts out negative, but it gets positive. So think about that. To score 5-plus runs in 4 of the 9 games on the road trip over the last couple weeks, but they had scored 5-plus runs only 4 times in their previous 27 prior to that trip. So it's showing that this team is having quality at-bats. They're finding ways to get guys on base, and now they're starting to bring them home. 2 outs, no one on for Aaron Estrada. Big swing and a miss from the switch hitter batting left. And the count is 0-1. Estrada has been the best hitter on the team all season long. Incredibly consistent. 0-1, swing and a miss at a breaking ball there. That one looked like the curve. It's 0-2. No score, bottom one. The Ironbirds looking to avoid a 1-2-3 inning. Estrada went 9 for 27 on the road trip. Hit 2 homers, drove in 6. He just continues to get it done. 0-2, fouls it away. He does not swing and miss much, and that's why it's pretty rare to see him go down 0-2, swinging and missing at pitches out of the zone. Getting a chance to get off his feet tonight. He's the DH. And now the 0-2 from Curtis. Fought off up around the broadcast booth level, and don't worry, everybody tuning in at home. I'm good. That's not up in my booth. It was off to the side of my booth. Which is crazy because they just added more netting here at Ripken Stadium, and they raised the netting behind home plate, and we're still getting balls up around the broadcast booth. Now the 0-2 to Estrada, up and in. It's 1-2. That's another big news item in Aberdeen this week. The netting here at Ripken Stadium was extended all the way down both the left field and right field lines into about halfway into the outfield, just keeping fans safe. 1-2, foul tipped in and out of Berg's glove, and that one caught a piece of him awkwardly. And I found out walking into the ballpark today that not only did they extend the netting down the lines, but they raised it behind home plate, so it's a few inches higher. And I'm thinking, all right, like now I'm good. We're not going to see any balls up around the booth level or even threatening to get in here. And then bottom of the first inning, first game with the new netting, Estrada sends one up around the booth. Guess I just got to keep bringing out the glove. Now the 1-2 from Curtis. Here it is, low and in. This is a good AB from Estrada right now to work the count to 2-2. So I've got the leather out here. I've got the Nakona infielder's glove on my hand right now up in the broadcast booth. This glove has become my designated broadcast booth glove. 2-2 pitch to Estrada. Off the hands, out to second. Delgado waits back, throws to first, and the inning is over. The Birds go down 1-2-3, just like the Grasshoppers did in their half of the first, and we are scoreless through one in Aberdeen. Baseball on the 4th of July in the Dean to open up a big homestand. We're going to have some fun the rest of the way. Top two next on the Ironbirds Broadcast Network. Top of inning number two here at Ripken Stadium in Aberdeen. Great crowd on hand for baseball on 4th of July here at Ripken Stadium. Both teams went down 1-2-3 in the first. Cohen Aiken did it a little bit more efficiently than Christian Curtis. Aiken threw just 9 pitches, 6 of them strikes in the first, while Curtis labored to throw 20 pitches, only 12 strikes, but 2-1-2-3 innings for both pitchers. Here's Javier Rivas, the third baseman, to step in for Greensboro. First pitch to the righty swinger, high and tight. He lunges out of the way, 1-0. P.J. Hilson and Titus Dimitru to follow. Aiken went fly out, ground out, and they did it quickly in the top half of the first. He's ready to roll. He is right back on the mound, but Rivas asked for time, so he has stepped out, now back in. Aiken working off that far side of the rubber, working off the left side from his perspective. 1-0 pitch, swing and a miss, tied him up inside. That's a really tough pitch in on the hands. And that's a pitch right there where if Rivas makes contact, he's hitting that on the ground, no doubt. It's not going in the air. And there's a reason why Aiken has a ground ball rate of 50% this season. 1-1, went with the inside slider, and that one just did not come all the way back in. Count is 2-0. All four infielders back deep for the Birds. A little bit of a righty shift on for Rivas. 2-1, flicks it foul right side, 2-2. Aiken has 5 pitches to work with. He's got a 4-seam and a 2-seam fastball. He tops out around 95 with the heater. And then the off-speed stuff, he has a sweeper, he's got a slider-cutter hybrid pitch, and then a changeup. Deep breath, now Cohen's 2-2, breaking ball smacked out to third. Nice play by De Los Santos, a spin and a throw to first, and Mordan held the bag. It's a nice play all the way around by the Ironbirds' corner infielders. 5-3 on the putout, 4 up, 4 down for Aiken. That brings up P.J. Hilson, the center fielder. No score, top of the second inning here in Aberdeen. Big night in the Dean, a season-high sellout crowd. Post-game fireworks, of course, contributing to that. It's going to be a great fireworks show. We saw a little sneak preview during the national anthem, a couple fireworks shot off. First pitch from Aiken, grounded foul towards the third base dugout. It's 0-1 on Hilson. Birds made Curtis throw 20 pitches in the first. They threatened a little bit. Couple of deep counts, but nobody reached base. And now Aiken looking to shut it down once again, throw up another zero. 0-1, that's to the backstop high. It's 1-1. The Birds went 4-5 on their 9-game road trip over the past week and a half. It was their second longest road trip of the season. The longest was 12 games from May 6th to the 18th that they had on the road. But the Ironbirds are at home quite a bit the rest of the 2025 season. July, it's about half home, half on the road. You've got the All-Star break following this homestand. And then the month of August is loaded up with home games. Home for 3 of the 4 weeks that month. 1-2, that's to the backstop again, 2-2. And then the Ironbirds open up September and close out the regular season with 6 on the road. But July and August, packed with home games, so if you are looking to get out to a game here at Ripken Stadium in Aberdeen, plenty of chances over the next 2 months. So head on over to goironbirds.com, look at some games, some tickets, and head on out to see some good baseball. 2-2 coming from Aiken. That's outside. Counts 3-2. Or you could stay at home and tune into my broadcast. I'm not going to be mad at that. I really won't be. In fact, I also encourage that. Or even if you show up to the game and you come to the game, bring some headphones, tune into me calling the game while you watch it. I think that's probably your best bet. So, yeah, that is what I encourage the most. Aiken looking to make it 5 up, 5 down. Here's the big 3-2 pitch. Couldn't get the chase. It looked like Hilson was ready to swing, but he held up. And there is a one-out walk. Hilson down to first. That brings up Titus Dimitru. Well, this Grasshoppers team has been not only one of the best teams in the South Atlantic League all season, you can argue the best. They've been one of the best teams in minor league baseball. When the first half came to an end, the Grasshoppers finished a half game behind the Brooklyn Cyclones for first place in the North Division standings. First pitch to Dimitru is in for a strike, 0-1. But even with finishing in second place and not making the playoffs via the first half title, the Grasshoppers still had the second best win percentage in all of minor league baseball. It's a shame that they didn't get in the playoffs because the team with the best winning percentage was in their division in the same league. 0-1, snap throw to first. Runner is back. It's a good shot by Ehrman down there on the money. So Greensboro, after that really strong first half, has gotten off to a hot start in the second half. A South Atlantic League best 9-3 second half record. And overall, they have the best record in the South Atlantic League, first half and second half combined, at 54-23. They're 26-15 at home, which is a great home record. But they're even better on the road, 28-8 outside of their home ballpark. That's ridiculous this deep in the season to have single-digit road losses. It's incredible. 0-2, just a little bit low, and the count's 1-2. Now, I don't know if that's sustainable over the course of the next 2 months to play 20 games over 500 on the road, but we'll see from this Greensboro team. And they have played good ball all year, very consistent. Runner at first, one out. And now a move over to first. Oh, they had him leaning. Oh, Mordaunt thought they had him. The Ironbirds dugout thought that they had him. That's a good move from Cohen Aiken, but P.J. Hilson is safe. They are getting closer on him. He has a healthy lead. Now he's inching closer to second. Here's the 1-2 pitch. Swing and a miss. That's first punch out of the night for Cohen Aiken. And he gets out number two in the second. Went up the ladder, Dimitri chased. That brings up Emmanuel Torero. No score, top two in the Dean. Two outs and a runner at first. Torero, the lone left-handed swinger in this Grasshoppers lineup. He is in right field tonight. Another healthy lead for Hilson at first. First pitch, that's outside, 1-0. The Ironbirds were on the road for 4th of July the last two seasons, so we did not have 4th of July baseball here in Aberdeen. But now that we do this season, it is a great night for baseball. Great weather, great crowd. Just good vibes across the board, and an Ironbirds win would add to that. So far, Cohen Aiken doing his part, looking for out number two in the second. Counts 1-1 on Torero. Aiken set once again, 1-1. Sent down the left field line into the seats, and that'll be a souvenir. Counts 1-2. I mentioned the Ironbirds averaging 3.9 runs per game on the season. On the flip side, Greensboro leads the South Atlantic League in total runs and runs per game, 5.5 runs per game on the year. A 781 team OPS also leads the league. 1-2, foul tipped into Ehrman's glove, inning over. Two strikeouts for Cohen Aiken to wrap up a scoreless top of the second. Aiken looks good against the league's best offense. We'll see if the Birds' bats can get going when we come back. No score as we go to the bottom of the second inning here in Aberdeen on the Ironbirds Broadcast Network. We go to the bottom of the second inning here in Aberdeen, Maryland. It's the Ironbirds and the Grasshoppers. 4th of July baseball. This is technically game four of a six-game home-and-home series, but it is game one of three here in Aberdeen. The Ironbirds and Grasshoppers played the last 3 days down in Greensboro, and after a noon game yesterday, both teams bust up north back to Aberdeen, and that's where they'll finish this six-game series. The Grasshoppers took each of the last two games after the Ironbirds won the series opener. Anderson De Los Santos, the third baseman, steps in to lead off against Christian Curtis for the Grasshoppers. Leandro Arias and Anudis Mordaunt to follow, 4-5-6. Curtis threw 20 pitches in the first, went 1-2-3. First pitch, check swing, appeal, no swing. And it's 1-0 on De Los Santos. Curtis threw three balls to Austin Overn and Griff O'Farrell before he threw a strike, but he got them both out. 1-0 popped up behind home plate, and that one will get into the seats. Then the three-hole hitter for the Ironbirds, Aaron Estrada, started out 0-2 on a couple of swings and misses, eventually fought off a few and grounded out to end the inning. So it was not an easy first inning for Curtis, but he did not allow a base runner. Counts 1-1 on De Los Santos. He wanted time but didn't get it. Next pitch, that's low, 2-1. Curtis represented the Pirates in the 2024 Arizona Fall League, and I got a chance to meet Christian out there and also get to call a couple of his games, see him pitch and do his thing on a pretty big stage. It is a high honor for minor leaguers to go out to the Arizona Fall League, represent their big league organization, wear the big league uniform in that league, and Curtis was one of those guys. 2-1, fouled away, it's 2-2. Curtis pitched seven times, started three games for the Scottsdale Scorpions in the Arizona Fall League. That was the team that the Pirates prospects were a member of. Pitched 17 and a third innings out in the desert, an area that he's familiar with. 2-2, called strike three right down the chute. One up, one down here in the second, and four up, four down overall. Curtis posted a 4.67 ERA in those seven games, and that's a pretty solid mark for the Fall League, because ERAs can be deceiving in small sample sizes, and ERAs can also be deceiving out there because offense absolutely dominates. Most teams prioritize sending higher-ranked hitting prospects versus pitching prospects out there because you're trying to keep arms healthy and not overwork pitchers, and you see a ton of stud offensive prospects out there, and the ball flies in the desert, especially that time of year, so that's why offense is kind of inflated out there. 0-1, fouled back by Leandro Arias. It's quickly 0-2. So a respectable mark for Curtis, whose Scottsdale Scorpions went on an absolute tear towards the final 2 weeks of that AFL season to go from under 500 to making the playoffs in the Fall League. How it works in the AFL, the team that wins the regular season gets an automatic bye to the championship game, whereas the teams that finish second and third out of six in the regular season play a one-game play-in semifinal to get to the championship. 0-2 fouled back, and the count stays where it is. So the Scorpions jumped up in the standings from fifth place to second place, got in the playoffs, hosted that play-in semifinal game. They eventually lost. But it was an incredible run, and Curtis was a big part of that. 0-2 the count on Arias. Next pitch, fought off the hands, blooped into the seats, third base side. Nice grab by a fan on the sweet level. That is a really nice play. Barehanded, fundamentally sound two-hand grab on the sweet level down the third baseline. That's a really nice play. Love it when fans make nice plays because the whole crowd gets into it. 0-2 swinging a foul tip into the glove of the catcher Berg, and Arias is retired. Three strikeouts now for Christian Curtis. He's retired all five that he's faced. That brings up Anudis Mordaunt, the first baseman. Mordaunt quietly is having a really solid start to the second half for the Ironbirds. He's on a season-high four-game hit streak for the Birds. First pitch to him, top of the zone, 0-1 the count. No score, bottom two. Two outs, no one on. Mordaunt went 9-for-23 on the nine-game road trip. Smacked three doubles, drove in three runs. That pitch is low and away. The count is 1-1. Mordaunt has some legitimate pop in that bat. He is a strong dude, just naturally strong. Catcher who plays a lot of first base with pop. 1-1. Gets one up in the air, but it's a pop-up on the infield. Third base side. Rivas, the third baseman, makes the grab and foul ground, and the inning is over. Six batters have come to the plate for the Ironbirds. They've all gone down in order. Christian Curtis, perfect through two innings, and after two full in the Dean, we are still scoreless. Top of the third after this on the Ironbirds Broadcast Network. Top of the third inning at Ripken Stadium in Aberdeen. No score. Neither team has a hit in this one. The Grasshoppers got a base runner on a one-out walk in the second. No base runners for the Ironbirds. Pitching has the upper hand early. Cohen Aiken back to work. Here's Giovanni Plancart, the first baseman. First pitch from Aiken, a little bit inside. Plancart moves the hands out of the way. Count is 1-0. 8-9-1 for Greensboro. Plancart, then Derek Berg, then back to the top for Connor Griffin. Aiken looks good so far, just 29 total pitches. 30th pitch of the night is in for a strike, 1-1. Christian Curtis has been really good as well on the flip side for Greensboro. He's faced six batters, retired them all. See which team wants to score tonight. Counts 1-1 on Plancart. Next pitch, high and tight again. Plancart, along with Christian Curtis, who I talked about in the last half inning, represented the Pirates in the Arizona Fall League. Plancart swung the bat really well. Good showing playing some first base along with catching. Liner to right, and Stafford is right there to make the grab. That brings up the nine-hole hitter, Derek Berg, the catcher. Berg, one of three catchers on this roster. Plancart's another, and the third is Justin Mickness. But on any given night, they can get multiple guys, or even all three, in the lineup. Plancart plays a good amount of first base. Berg behind the dish for Curtis tonight. One gone, no one on for Aiken. Swing and a miss. Good breaking ball there. Now Aiken with a long pause on the mound. Counts 0-1. Pitch inside. He's really trying to hammer that inside part of the plate to right-handed hitters. Did it against Plancart. Now he tried to get in on Berg. But he's missing just a little bit inside. 1-1. Fouled back. It's 1-2. No score. Top of the third. One out. No one on. Well, Cohen's rise into the professional ranks, it has not been a usual path. I mean, it is definitely not the normal path that guys take. But he is here pitching as a professional and pitching well in his first pro season. 1-2, high and away. So like I said earlier in the broadcast, Cohen grew up in the Calgary area in Alberta, up in Canada. And he eventually went to play NAIA college baseball. 2-2, fouled back. He pitched collegiately at two different schools. He finished at Lindsey Wilson College, a very small NAIA school in Kentucky. He described it as a middle-of-nowhere small school to me. His words, not mine. But he is Lindsey Wilson's all-time strikeout leader. Made a name for himself there. 2-2 pitch coming up, low and away. 341 strikeouts in 268 in the third innings for Cohen Aiken at Lindsey Wilson College. And the strikeout per nine rate through the roof. First team all-conference selection as a senior. So he finished the college career strong. 3-2 pitch, fouled away down the right field line. We'll do it again. But he wasn't quite on that many teams' radars after finishing up his career at Lindsey Wilson College. So he goes out to the Northwoods League the summer after his senior season of college, and he really, really pitched well there. I mean, that is what really got him noticed. The Orioles liked what they saw. They took him in the 14th round of last summer's draft. 3-2 pitch coming up from Cohen. That's high, and that's ball four. Second walk that he's issued, and one time through the lineup. He's only allowed the two base runners, but both on walks. Those college summer leagues, massive for guys trying to get drafted or signed into pro baseball. And for Cohen, the Northwoods League stint did a lot for him. Now he's turning heads in the Ozark. Here's Connor Griffin, who swung at the first pitch he saw in the first and flew out to center. First pitch high and tight. Griffin is just 19 years old. He turned 19 in late April, so this is his age 19 season. He was the ninth overall pick in last summer's draft out of high school in Jackson, Mississippi. He was the first high school player taken. The Pirates took a shot on him, and they are being rewarded for it early. Lines one to deep center over and a couple steps back. and he is there to make the catch. So Connor Griffin has seen three pitches tonight. He has sent two balls to deep center, but he is retired and he is 0 for 2. Cohen Aiken having some success against the 19-year-old Phenom Griffin. So that brings up Kaner Delgado, who flew out to left his first time up. Two outs and a runner at first. Two strikeouts for Aiken tonight. They both came in the second inning. Now we'll see if Cohen can strand another base runner here in the third. Move over to first, and the runner is back. It's Berg at first. He walked. A line out to right and a fly out to center, the two outs here in this inning. No score early in game one of three this weekend between the two squads. In and out of Mordaunt's glove. And after diving back into first, Berg stays put. Home and home series between the two squads. They played three in Greensboro the last 3 days. Noon game yesterday. And then the two teams headed back up north. 8-hour bus ride. Got in late last night, playing a night game here today. Pitch outside. Snap throw to first from Ehrman. The tag from Mordaunt. Oh, it was close, but they didn't get him. Well, Aiken on the mound, Ehrman behind the dish, and Mordaunt over at first base. They are all on the same page. If they've got any chance to pick somebody off, whether it's a pickoff move or a back pick by Ehrman, they're going to take it tonight. 1-0 outside, 2-0. Aiken had a solid month of June, made four starts, pitched to a 4.26 ERA. Ground ball to first, Mordaunt backhands it, steps on first, and the inning is over. Nice play by Anudis, and a nice job by Cohen Aiken to get the ground ball and strand another runner on base. No runs, no hits, no errors. One man left on for Greensboro in the top of the third. No score after 2.5. Bottom three coming up next on the Birds Broadcast Network. Bottom of the third inning from Ripken Stadium in Aberdeen. Still no score between the Ironbirds and the Grasshoppers. Michael Marcantonini with you on the call. 7-8-9 for the Birds against right-hander Christian Curtis for Greensboro. Jake Cunningham, Ryan Stafford, and Cole Ehrman. Birds looking for their first base runner of the game. Curtis at 33 pitches, 22 strikes. His 34th of the night is over to Cunningham. It's 0-1. Third baseman Rivas in a little bit, respecting Jake's speed. The other three infielders back deep and over a little bit. Lane Cunningham to pull. 0-1 off the plate. And the count is 1-1. Oftentimes, as broadcasters, or really anyone in baseball, when we talk about a guy who's dealt with injuries throughout their career, we say that guy's been through a lot. It's definitely an overused term. Sometimes it's a little exaggerated. 1-1 up and in on Cunningham. It's 2-1. But Christian Curtis, by definition, is a guy who has been through a lot, and it is not an exaggeration. It is not hyperbole. The fact that he is still throwing a baseball professionally or at all is incredible. 2-1. It's 3-1 now on Cunningham as that pitch missed inside. Curtis has had a lot of injury struggles throughout his career, and even after surgeries, it hasn't always corrected the problems. Right now he's healthy, and that's what everyone likes to see. Chopper to the left side. Rivas cuts it off, throws to first, and the first baseman Plancard held the bag. Cunningham is retired on the 5-3 putout. One out, no one on. So really the story with Christian Curtis, when he was a freshman at Texas A&M back in 2021, he missed the entire year after having ulnar transposition surgery. Came back in 2022, made five starts at A&M, but he just knew that something wasn't quite right. His velocity dipped in a big way. I mean, we're talking about a guy who could throw the fastball in the upper 90s and just didn't have the velo. Here's Stafford, who sends one in the air to left. Titus Dimitru is in. He makes the catch. Two up, two down, and eight up, eight down overall. It brings up Cole Ehrman for the Birds. And it turns out that after Curtis had that surgery, the stitches that were remaining from the first surgery ended up making contact with his nerve. So every time he threw a pitch after he came back, the stitches continued to fray that nerve and continued to cause problems, a lot of pain. And basically, without really knowing it, he was doing severe damage to his arm every time he threw a pitch. Had a second surgery. It took over 5 hours. And members of the medical team that did the surgery on Curtis told his parents that the nerve damage was so severe that he might not be able to pitch again. And not only that, he might not have full use of his arm again. But, you know, long story short, he has use of his arm. He's doing a great job working his way up the Pirates system. But it got to a point where, because of complications from a first surgery that he had, it almost ended his baseball career and almost really affected his day-to-day life with use of his arm and the nerves in that arm. 0-2 to Ehrman, that's inside. But things got better. He worked his way back. And he said he really leaned heavily on his faith to get him through tough times, ended up transferring to Arizona State. And it was a huge bonus for him and a great move for him. Swing and a miss there. Ehrman down on strikes. Nine up, nine down for Christian Curtis, who worked through that half inning so quickly I didn't even fully get to wrap up the story, but we will continue that when he comes out for the fourth. Nine up, nine down for the Birds. We are still scoreless after three innings here in Aberdeen. Top four next on the Iron Birds Broadcast Network. Top of the fourth inning from Ripken Stadium in Aberdeen. The Ironbirds and the Grasshoppers trading zeros on the scoreboard tonight. Christian Curtis for Greensboro, 9 up, 9 down on just 44 pitches. On the flip side, Cohen Aiken for the Ironbirds has faced just two over the minimum. Neither pitcher has allowed a hit. And now it's 3-4-5 for the Hoppers. Taylor, Rivas, and Hilson in the top of the fourth. Righty shift on for him. First pitch, breaking ball, check swing. He went around, counts 0-1. Nice job by Aiken to get the swing there, and he is ahead in the count. Aiken has gone four-plus innings in each of his last three outings, looking to make it four in a row tonight. 0-1, swing and a miss. That's nasty right there, 0-2. Aiken tied a career high with six innings in his last home start back on June 20th. Gave up four runs that night. Did a great job getting through six. and showing that he can go deep. 1-1, low and away. Aiken has been in the Ironbirds rotation since May 18th. His first game with the Birds was out of the bullpen. His first three appearances for Delmarva to start the year were out of the bullpen. He has been a fixture in the rotation recently, and he's done a nice job. Reliable arm. 2-1, liner to left. That's down for a base hit. That's the first hit of the game for either squad, and Taylor is aboard as a leadoff base runner here in the fourth. So he's on. That brings up Javier Rivas. Rivas made a nice play on a Cunningham chopper in the last inning. Cut off the shortstop Griffin. He had the easier throw, the shorter throw, and they just made the play at first. Rivas bounced to third his first time up. Made at first, no out. Swing and a miss, low and way away. Pitch out of the zone, but Aiken got the chase. Big hole on the right side as they play Rivas to pull. Next pitch, that's downstairs, 1-1. Aiken's thrown a really nice game tonight, just the one hit and the two walks. He's been around the zone for the most part. Needed just 45 pitches to get through the first three, an average of 15 per inning. 1-1, off the hands, grounder up the middle, could be two. Flip to second for one, O'Farrell over to first in time. 6-4-3 on the twin killing, Arias to O'Farrell to Mordan. And now it's two outs and the base is empty for Cohen Aiken. Talking about the ground ball rate for Aiken earlier in the broadcast, about 50% of his outs are ground ball outs. And he gets two outs on one play right there. Went inside to the righty Rivas, and I said it last inning, he's really trying to get inside on right-handed batters. And he's been missing just a little bit too far in, but not there to Rivas. Here's P.J. Hilson, first pitch low and away, 1-0. That was not a hard-hit ball off the bat, but it was a pretty easy turn for Arias, who just had to make the short underhand flip to O'Farrell, and then O'Farrell with the arm across the diamond. 1-0, grounded foul over towards the third base dugout. It's 1-1. Hilson walked his first time up. He was the game's first base runner. But after that one-out walk in the second, Aiken went strikeout, strikeout on Dimitru and Torero. Trying to get out of it, facing just three in the inning. That's outside, 2-1. And in this inning, it looks like he's really pulling that pitch low and away to righties. He's trying to establish that outer part of the plate. Got swings and misses on a couple, not that one. Pull shift on for Hilson in the infield. Grounds one, foul up the third base line. Well, if he hits anything fair down that third base line, De Los Santos is going to make the play, because he is less than a body length away from that foul line, and he's deep at the position. Arias deep and straight away at short. O'Farrell deep and shading up the middle at second. And then Mordan off the bag and deep at first. Outfield playing Hilson to pull as well. Right field gap is big. Another one grounded foul, 2-2. Leadoff single from Taylor, but then Aiken induced the double play ball. Home crowd is loving what Aiken is doing tonight. Really shutting down the best offense in the Sally League. 2-2, popped up middle of the diamond. Who wants it? The shortstop Arias calling everybody off. And he makes the grab out at that shortstop position, inning over. Not a 1-2-3 inning, but Aiken faces the minimum here in the fourth. And he has tossed four shutout innings tonight in Aberdeen. Bottom four coming up next. We are still scoreless. Stay locked in on the Ironbirds Broadcast Network. Cohen Aiken is dialed in tonight on the mound for the Ironbirds. Four scoreless innings. He's completed four-plus innings for the fourth straight outing. And he'll go back out for a fifth. Aiken at just 58 pitches so far tonight. He's cruising. So is the starter for Greensboro, Christian Curtis. Nine up, nine down, top of the order here in the fourth. First pitch to Overn, fouled it back. A good cut there from OV the second time up. Count was 3-0 on Overn in the first inning. And Curtis worked his way back and ended up getting Overn swinging for strike three. He's retired all nine that he's faced. 0-1. There's a strike on the outer half, 0-2. Aiken has been so good for the Ironbirds tonight. Curtis has been just a little bit better. Aiken's allowed three base runners. Curtis has allowed none. Birds are looking to change that here in this inning. O-2 pitch, called strike three, and there is strikeout number five for Christian Curtis. 10 up, 10 down. Talk about dialed in. Had a little bit of trouble in that first inning. Went three ball counts to both Overn and O'Farrell, but ever since then, he has been all around the zone. And that brings up Griff O'Farrell, trying to extend that eight-game on-base streak. First pitch to Griff is in for a strike. Count is 0-1. Well, it is the 4th of July. It's America's birthday. We're celebrating the USA today, as we do often, but of course on the 4th of July. Beautiful night to do it here at Ripken Stadium. And Griff is one of a handful of guys here in Aberdeen who got to play with the Team USA Collegiate National Team throughout his college career over the summer. 1-1, that's off the plate. It's 2-1. I know Griff has talked to me a little bit about the experience playing for Team USA. It's an honor that he does not take lightly. All these guys getting a chance to wear their home country across the chest on the jersey is special. 2-1, swing and a miss. And the count is now 2-2 on O'Farrell. Summer 2023, that's when O'Farrell played for the USA College National Team. Hit .463 with a team-best 19 hits in international competition. Swings and lines one foul out of play. Count stays at 2-2. He hit safely in each of his first nine games with Team USA that summer. He was named Team USA's most outstanding hitter of the Friendship Series against Chinese Taipei after he went 13-for-21 in five games. That's a .619 average. 2-2 outside, counts full. Griff has done a lot throughout his young baseball career. We're talking about the Virginia Gatorade High School Player of the Year as a senior. Went to the College World Series twice with UVA. Brooks Wallace Award winner for the nation's best shortstop. Number 32 overall draft pick. 3-2. Rips one to second again, and once again it's caught by Kaner Delgado. Two hard hit liners by O'Farrell and no hits to show for it. But he is seeing the ball well against Christian Curtis, who has now retired 11 in a row to start his night. That brings up Aaron Estrada, the designated hitter. See if he can keep this inning alive. Pitch catches the top of the zone right there. It's 0-1. Birds without a hit, without a base runner overall, but the game is still scoreless in the home fourth. Next pitch, slap foul. That one's out of play, 0-2. Very rare to see Estrada down in an 0-2 count in back-to-back plate appearances, but that's the case here. Christian Curtis just running through this Ironbirds lineup. 0-2, fly ball left field, not deep. Dimitru's in. He's there to make the catch. 12 up, 12 down for Christian Curtis so far tonight in Aberdeen. He has been fantastic. He's got five strikeouts, and he continues to mow down these Ironbirds hitters. We've got a good pitcher's duel in the Dean between Curtis and Aiken. We're going to the top of the fifth with the game still scoreless. Stay locked in on MILB TV and Bally Live.
This summer, we're going from minor league baseball to major fun. Whether you're just stopping by or looking for that Grand Slam getaway, Wyndham rewards everyone. Start earning points on your next qualified by Wyndham hotel stay and redeem them for minor league baseball tickets and experiences all summer long. Not a Wyndham Rewards member? Join for free at WyndhamRewards.com. Restrictions apply. Visit WyndhamRewards.com for more details.
Cohen Aiken back to work for the top of the fifth inning here at Ripken Stadium in Aberdeen. No score between the Birds and the Hoppers. Just one hit in the game. The Grasshoppers got it back in the fourth inning. That was the leadoff hit from Will Taylor, a single to left. That's it. One hit for Greensboro, no hits for Aberdeen. First pitch misses to Titus Dimitru, and the count is 1-0. Aiken looking to make it five scoreless. Pitch to Dimitru, misses 2-0. Torero and Plancart to follow, then Berg. Leadoff hit for Taylor in the fourth. Rivas then bounced into a double play, and Aiken faced a minimum three in that fourth inning. Got through it on just 13 pitches. 2-0, fly ball deep left field. Cunningham a couple steps back, but that one's not coming back. Halfway up the roof on the visiting clubhouse. And just like that, the Hoppers take a 1-0 lead. A leadoff home run from Titus Dimitru here in the fifth. And that breaks up the shutout bid for Cohen Aiken. Dimitru will circle the bases, and the Hoppers with a league-best 5.5 runs per game to their name this season get on the board first. That's a tough break for Aiken, left to pitch up in the zone. He's pitched so well so far tonight, and now he's on the losing end of this one. This Hoppers team, they can hit the long ball. Part of it's because they play in a bandbox, a really small stadium down in Greensboro. But that is their league-leading 114th home run of the season. No other team is even close in the home run department. First pitch to Torero is a swing and a miss. Counts 0-1. So 1-0 Greensboro here in the away fifth. And for Titus Dimitru, that's his first homer and his first ribby at high A. Just his second game at the level. Coming on strong from the jump with the Hoppers. Pitch misses outside. It's 2-1 now on Torero. So a leadoff shot for Dimitru. And now Torero trying to find his way on base. Ironbird's pitching staff has done a pretty nice job this year keeping opponents in the ballpark. Off the end of the bat to left. Cunningham went back. Now he's in, and he makes a sliding grab for out number one in the fifth. Jake Cunningham used the closing speed to make up for going back on that ball. And, hey, you know what? If you go back a step, then have to come in to make the catch, it's not a big deal. What's worse is, or what's the bad thing as an outfielder is you come in and then it goes over your head. But Cunningham, great awareness there and a nice grab. So one out, no one on. Birds down a run. Here is Giovanni Plancart. First pitch, that one missed. It's 1-0. Great atmosphere in the ballpark tonight. The fans are into it. We've got a great crowd, a lot of groups. We're looking at a lot of like Little League baseball and softball teams in attendance tonight, all wearing their team shirts or jerseys. You see kind of entire sections of teams wearing the same shirt and the same hat. But it's just great to have this season-high sellout crowd in attendance for tonight's game. Counts 2-0. On Giovanni Plancart, next pitch. That's upstairs. Counts 3-0. Both pitchers have been excellent tonight. Right now, Christian Curtis has been the better of the two. Not by a ton, but he's faced 12 batters, retired all of them. Got five strikeouts. On the flip side, Cohen Aiken, he's allowed just four base runners. Two hits. One of those hits was a home run, though. Just a solo shot, not a huge deal. The Ironbirds know they've got to score runs to win this game anyway. Okay, that's ball four. A five-pitch walk to Plancart, and that's the third walk issued by Aiken. He's been pretty efficient with his pitches per inning so far, from the first through the fourth inning. Pitches by inning 9, 19, 17, and 13. And now Ironbirds pitching coach Jeremy Heilman is going to go out and chat. First time we've seen a pitching coach from either side come out and talk, and really both pitchers haven't needed it to this point. Two of the first three have reached here in the fifth. That brings up the nine-hole hitter, Derek Berg, with Connor Griffin looming on deck. Now the home plate umpire, Dominic Romero, is going to go out and break up the conversation. Berg walked his first time up. Aiken looking to work around that leadoff homer and now the one-out walk. A run on two hits, no errors for Greensboro. No runs, no hits, and no errors for Aberdeen. This is technically game four of a six-game series between the two squads. They played the first three in Greensboro this past 3 days. Now wrapping it up here in Aberdeen. Off the hands, grounded past Aiken. O'Farrell steps on second, throws to first. That's an easy inning-ending double play. 4-3 on the twin killing, and that helps Aiken get out of it after the mound visit on just one pitch. Nice job by O'Farrell to help out his pitcher, and now we'll see if the bats can do the same. 1-0 Greensboro over Aberdeen after 4.5. We're headed for the bottom of the fifth after this on the Ironbirds Broadcast Network. One nothing Greensboro over Aberdeen, bottom five at Ripken Stadium. The Birds still looking for their first base runner of the game. Right-hander Christian Curtis for Greensboro is putting together a special outing tonight, 12 up, 12 down. And now the first pitch to Anderson De Los Santos misses a little bit low for a ball. So 1-0 to start the fifth. It's De Los Santos, Arias, and Mordan, 4-5-6. 12 batters, 12 outs. And that's high, 2-0. And to think that Christian Curtis started off Austin Overton in the first 3-0, then a three-ball count on the next batter, O'Farrell, but he got them both out and has cruised ever since. He's behind De Los Santos 2-0. Birds down 1-0 after the leadoff home run from Titus Dimitriou in the fifth. No doubt about it, shot. That's the only run of the game. 2-0, swing and a miss. De Los Santos, a big cut, and he almost slipped out of the box. Well, when I saw the lineup today, hours before the game, I was really excited to see DLS in the cleanup spot. Swing and a miss there. It's 2-2. Chased a breaking ball. And I legitimately, as I was looking at the lineup, I said, let's go. Because this is a guy who can be a cleanup hitter. He's got insane pop in the bat, and he knows the strike zone well. Naturally, he swings and misses there, but that was in the zone. I'll give him that. But I'm excited to see him in that spot, and I hope that he gets some more reps as this team's cleanup hitter because he can really swing it. So right now it's 13 up, 13 down for Christian Curtis, and I'm going to say it because you just don't see guys at this level go deep into games. We probably will not see Curtis finish this game, but right now he's perfect, and that's pretty cool at any level of baseball to see a guy take a perfect game this far into an outing. Right now, he is through 4 1/3 perfect. Counts 0-1 on Arias. Next pitch misses outside, and the count is 1-1. Curtis had a solid month of June. His best month of the season so far was May. 2.61 ERA and 5 starts. That's outside, 2-1 on Arias. Struck out 26, walked just 9 in the month of May. Overall this season, he's done a nice job giving the Grasshoppers length and just taking the ball every 6 days. 2-1, that's in there, 2-2. With six-game series in minor league baseball, especially at the lower levels, a guy is normally going to pitch once, maybe twice in a six-game series. If you start game one of a series, you may come back for game six. But other than that, you're pitching once a week. Curtis has been reliable. 2-2, swinging a foul tip into Berg's glove. Perfect through 4 2/3. 14 up, 14 down for Christian Curtis. He is running right through these Iron Birds tonight. And he's up to 7 strikeouts now. Brings up Anudis Mordaunt, who's trying to extend his season-high 4-game hitting streak. Curtis is one strikeout away from tying his season-high of 8. His career high is 9. He did that twice last season. And that was with low A Bradenton. 1-0, that's low, and it's 2-0. Give Curtis a lot of credit for being able to pitch from behind in this game. He has fallen behind a handful of hitters, 2-0, a couple 3-0, but he's battled back. Birds down 1-0 in the fifth. 2-0, fly ball to right field, not deep. It's playable for Torreira, well shy of the track. He makes the grab, and it's 15 up, 15 down for Christian Curtis tonight in Aberdeen. 7 strikeouts and no base runners allowed for the Pirates prospect. He is running right through this Ironbirds lineup, and he throws up yet another 0. Perfect through 5, and we are through 5. It's 1-0 Greensboro over Aberdeen. We'll head to the top of the 6th after this on the Ironbirds Broadcast Network. How about another inning for Cohen Aiken tonight? The right-hander has logged 5 innings of one-run ball so far. The Birds trail 1-0, so Aiken's on the losing end right now. But he's rolled 2 double play balls tonight. He's got a couple of strikeouts, and he's allowed just 2 hits. Top of the order for the Hoppers, here's Connor Griffin. First pitch to Connor is in for a strike, and the count is 0-1. Well, Griffin is having a spectacular first pro season, and he's doing it as a 19-year-old. He was the Gatorade National High School Baseball Player of the Year last year. Two-way player in high school. 0-1, that's low. Right-handed pitcher on the mound with a mid-90s fastball, but the Pirates drafted him to be a position player. He's played mostly shortstop, but a little bit of center field as well. And he is a guy that scouts think has legitimate 30-30 potential in the big leagues. 1-1, ground ball to the left side, sneaks through into the outfield for a base hit. And Connor Griffin stays hot. A single for Griffin. That's the 3rd hit of the night for the Hoppers. After a couple flyouts for Connor before that. But he is an exciting player, and I texted my guys Sam Dykstra and Jim Callis from MLB Pipeline earlier today, and I said, hey, what do you got on Griffin? I mean, everybody knows he's a stud, but Jim Callis told me, yeah, legitimate 30-30 potential in the big leagues, potential to play multiple premium positions at a high level. And Jim Callis told me that Connor Griffin had the highest ceiling of any player in last year's draft, and he said it shows. Well, it absolutely shows, and so far tonight, 1-for-3, 3 hard hit balls and a single. Here's Kaner Delgado, 0-for-2. 1-0 is outside, it's 2-0. Titus Dimitru, a leadoff home run in the fifth. That's the difference right now, 1-0 Hoppers. Greensboro has taken each of the last two games of this series after the Birds took the opener down in Greensboro earlier in the week. 2-0, liner to right past the second baseman O'Farrell. Big turn for Griffin. He's headed for third, and he gets there easily. Stafford bobbled it momentarily out and right. I don't think it would have mattered. And it's first and third for Greensboro. No outs here in the sixth. Brings up Will Taylor, the DH, who is 1-for-2 with a single. Both balls hit hard. Neither of them absolutely scorch, where we're talking about an absolute bullet off the bat. But Griffin pulled it past the shortstop, Arias. And Delgado pulled it past the second baseman, O'Farrell. Birds keep their infield back, looking for an out. First pitch fastball misses a little bit high to Taylor, 1-0. Hoppers up to 4 hits. Birds still looking for their first base runner on the flip side. There's bullpen action for the Ironbirds. A right-hander's throwing. Aiken nearing the end of the line. There's a strike on the inner half, 1-1. And it's important to provide context here. Even if Griffin and Delgado had gotten out and it was 2 outs, no one on, instead of no outs, 2 on, somebody would still be up in the Ironbirds bullpen right now, because Aiken was over 70 pitches to start the inning. 1-1, low and in. The goal is to get him through 6. At this point, he'll probably need a double play ball to help that case. He's up to 80 pitches now. He's been really efficient, more than 50% strikes. 2-1. Off the end of the bat to shallow right center. Here comes Over and makes the catch, gets behind it. Here's the throw to the plate. It's a little bit offline and just a little bit late, and it's a sacrifice fly for Will Taylor. But Aiken gets a big out, number one. Another run comes in to score. It's 2-0 Greensboro. But they keep the trail runner at first, and now the double play is in order for Aiken or a reliever to try to get a double play ball to get out of it. Ryan Gall's on the top step of the Birds dugout, and now he's out of the dugout to take the baseball from Cohen Aiken. 81 pitches for Aiken tonight. He was really good. He exits after 5 1/3 strong innings. His line is not closed. He's responsible for the runner at first base. But that is it for Cohen tonight, and he continues to throw the baseball really well. Gets a handshake from Ryan Gall, some encouragement from his teammates. New arm coming in for the Birds. We'll let you know who it is when we come back. We'll step aside with the Hoppers leading 2-0 here in the sixth on the Ironbirds Broadcast Network. New pitcher for the Ironbirds with one out and one on in the sixth inning is right-hander Zane Barnhart. Barnhart trying to get the final two outs of the inning in relief of Cohen Aiken, who's done after five and a third. Runner at first is Kaner Delgado. First pitch to Javier Rivas. The four-hole hitter is a ball, 1-0. Rivas hit into a double play back in the fourth. He is 0-for-2 with a couple of groundouts. Connor Griffin led off the inning with a single. Delgado followed, and first and third, no outs. Taylor hit a sac fly to center. 1-0. Barnhart slings it across the plate, but it just missed. It's 2-0. That was it for Aiken after the sac fly ended his night, getting that out on a high note. Leaves after allowing four hits and five and a third. Walked three, struck out two. 81 pitches, 44 strikes. 2-0 from Barnhart. Gets a swing and a miss. Nasty sweeper right there. Counts 2-1. Good timing for Barnhart to come into this game. He's been a go-to guy for the Birds this year. And he is one of the guys that I recently interviewed. That interview is now up on YouTube, the full interview with Zane. So you can check that out. 2-1, inside corner for a strike, 2-2. Covered a bunch of topics in that interview with Zane. One of the things we talked about was Zane being a big energy drink guy. All these guys, especially pitchers, huge on the caffeine. Zane's big on the energy drinks. Not a coffee guy, but absolutely an energy drink. Keeping him fueled coming out of the bullpen. 2-2, foul tipped. And Ehrman said he snagged it, but the home plate umpire, Dominic Romero, said no. Over the years, I've asked guys, especially relief pitchers, about what they do to get amped up. And for a lot of guys, you got to have some type of caffeine in you, whether it's coffee or an energy drink. You take a shot of pre-workout. Two-strike pitch popped up to right. Stafford over a little bit towards the line. He's there to make the catch. Two outs in the inning. Nice job by Barnhart to get the first batter he faces. And that brings up P.J. Hilson, the center fielder. I remember Dan Hammer, who is now in the Tampa Bay Rays organization with AA Montgomery. When he was with the Ironbirds during the 2023 season, I asked him what he does to get amped up or ready to go in the bullpen for the routine once his name gets called. And he said, normally it starts with a shot of pre-workout. I mean, if you've never taken pre-workout, let's just say, that'll get you amped up. Now, I don't use pre-workout. I've taken it once in my life. And I was so damn jittery after taking it, I was like, never again. But, yeah, that'll get you amped up. That'll get you just doing some wild things out on the mound. I mean, looking possessed. But it works for a lot of guys. Did not work for me. A one from Barnhart. That's in for a strike. It's 0-2 on Hilson. Birds down 2-0, top of the sixth. A run home in the frame. I asked Zane how many energy drinks you're putting down a day. He said only one a day. He said the only time he's drinking more than one is if he's got to, you know, stay up for a long drive or something like that, or it's, you know, a big day. But man knows his energy drinks. 0-2 fouled away. And the reason I found out that Zane was big on the energy drinks, last year I'm doing an interview with Zach Fruit, and Fruit did like this whole energy drink review series during the off season. Said you get bored during the off season. You got to do something to spice it up. And he told me that Zane's an even bigger energy drink guy than him. So it was just a cool way to connect the two. 0-2 just inside, and the count's 1-2. But in that interview with Zane, we touched on a couple different things and talked about his Arizona Fall League experience, pitching for the Surprise Saguaros. Big honor for Zane to go out there. 1-2, breaking ball popped up foul, first base side, and that one gets into the seats. Zane got to face a lot of big-time hitters out in the AFL. A couple guys he said were the toughest outs for him out there are now playing in the big leagues with the Athletics. Denzel Clark, who is just an incredible center fielder, can swing it too. And then Nick Kurtz, the fourth overall pick in last year's draft out of Wake Forest. Dude's a stud. 1-2. Hard hit fly ball to deep center. Over and back. He's at the track. And he makes the grab on the run to retire the side. Nice job by Zane Barnhart. He faces two batters out of the bullpen. Gets them both out. and he and Aiken team up to get three outs in that sixth inning. A run in for the Hoppers. They do it on two hits. They lead it 2-0 after 5.5. Bottom six after this on the Ironbirds Broadcast Network. Nothing Greensboro over Aberdeen, bottom of the sixth inning here at Ripken Stadium. 4th of July baseball in the Dean for the first time in a few years, first time in my tenure as the Ironbirds broadcaster, and the vibes in the ballpark fantastic tonight. Here's Jake Cunningham with Ryan Stafford and Cole Ehrman to follow. 7-8-9 for the Birds, still looking for their first base runner, swing and a miss, and the count is 0-1. Christian Curtis back out there, 70 pitches through five perfect innings. He just threw pitch number 71 of the night, and he is looking to stay perfect. Next pitch outside, 1-1. Seven strikeouts for Curtis tonight. Picked up one in the first, two in the second, one in the third, one in the fourth, and two more in the fifth. He's faced 15 batters, retired all 15. 1-1, high and away. Who knows how long he'll go and what the leash is for him tonight. I'm sure Greensboro manager Blake Butler and pitching coach Matt Myers are watching him closely. But he's putting together a special outing. Five perfect innings. 2-1 fouled back. It's 2-2 on Cunningham. I was looking back in my scorebook from the Arizona Fall League this past fall to see which games I called with Christian on the mound. And the most recent game I called late in that season was a game that got postponed after about an inning and a half. Curtis started that game, though, and looked good. I'll get to that in a minute. 2-2 pitch. Called strike three on the inner half. A season-high tying eight strikeouts for Christian Curtis, and he has retired all 16 batters that he's faced tonight. Brings up Ryan Stafford. So in the Fall League, it was on Sunday, November 3rd, and I'll always remember this because it was one of the only 2 days among the 10 weeks that I was out in Arizona that it rained, and rain came down hard before and during the start of this game between the Scottsdale Scorpions, Curtis's squad, and the Glendale Desert Dogs. Curtis started for Scottsdale. He allowed a leadoff base hit, but then struck out the next three in order, and he struck out some big-name players to finish that first inning. But then that was the end of the night for him, because in the bottom of the first inning, more rain came down, and that pretty much ended the night for everybody, and that game got postponed, finished later. Tough one. 1-1, and that one misses. It's 2-1 now on Stafford. So I'd like to think that I was going to call a Christian Curtis gem that night because it was such a fantastic start to the game. And then after that, the rain came. 2-1, chopper foul up the third baseline. It's 2-2. The first four hitters that Curtis faced that day, big-time players. Tyler Callahan got to the big leagues with the Reds earlier this year. Matt McClain was a Rookie of the Year favorite a couple of years ago. Thomas Sejace is in the big leagues with the Cardinals. Zaire Hope is one of the best prospects in baseball in the Dodgers organization. And then later in that lineup, some more big-time prospects. Otto Kemp, who's with the Phillies in the big leagues, was on deck. He never got to hit before the game was postponed. Pitches out of the zone against Stafford there. It's 3-2. It's one of the cooler things as a broadcaster is to go back in scorebooks and look at old games and see when you cross paths with a guy. And for me, with Christian Curtis, it was in the Arizona Fall League. And that story that I talked about earlier with the injury history for Curtis, that was written by MLB Pipeline's Jonathan Mayo, so shout out to him. And that was a story from the Fall League. Here's the 3-2 pitch to Stafford. That's a called strike three right down the chute, and it's a career-high tying 9 punch-outs for Christian Curtis. He is just running right through this Ironbirds lineup today. He's retired all 17 batters that he's faced. 4 strikeouts over the last 5 batters overall, and now a chance to strike out the side and make it 6 perfect innings. Here's Cole Irman. First pitch to Cole. That's at the top of the zone for a strike. We are witnessing something special from Christian Curtis tonight in Aberdeen. 10 outs away from a perfect game. In the minor leagues, you don't see guys throw complete games that often, especially low A and high A. But you just never know. Counts 0-2 on Irman. Ready to hit to try to break up this run that Campbell or Curtis is on. 0-2, that's outside. It's 1-2. Every once in a while, you'll see a complete game at this level. Not very often, though. But Curtis just taking it inning by inning, pitch by pitch right now. Tall right-hander set. And the 1-2 to Irman. Swing and a miss. He got him. A career-high 10 strikeouts for Christian Curtis through 6 perfect innings tonight in Aberdeen. He's fired up as he gets a handshake from his catcher, Derek Berg, to end that 6th inning. A special performance tonight from Christian Curtis. He fans the side in order in the 6th and give him a career-high 10 through 6 innings of perfect baseball. We are through 6 in Aberdeen. We'll head to the top of the 7th with the Birds down 2-0. Stay locked in on the Birds Broadcast Network. Six perfect innings with a career-high 10 strikeouts for Christian Curtis for Greensboro tonight. On the flip side, the Ironbirds with Zane Barnhart on the mound after getting the only 2 batters he faced in the 6th. He continues here in the 7th, and his first pitch to Titus Dimitru is a strike. 2-0 Greensboro, a run in the 5th, and 1 more in the 6th. That's the difference. Ground ball up the middle, backhanded by O'Farrell, lost it in and out of his glove, but that's an infield single for Titus Dimitru. Don't think that O'Farrell would have had a chance on that even if he gloved it cleanly. So a leadoff hit that brings up Torero. Christian Curtis is at 85 pitches through 6 perfect innings with a career-high 10 strikeouts. We'll see if he comes back out for the 7th. And we will continue to monitor that. Jake Shirk is up in the bullpen for Greensboro. Pitch to the lefty Torero is outside, counts 1-0. Christian Curtis, we are seeing something special. Here's a bunt foul up the third base line. I said it throughout that 6th inning. young pitchers, especially guys that have dealt with injuries, pitching at this level, high A, you don't see guys finish games. It just doesn't happen that often where a pitcher is going nine innings. You don't even see eight that often. Seven is usually a max for guys. A lot of it depends on the pitch count and how a guy is trending as a game goes on. But right now, Christian Curtis hasn't allowed a base runner through sixth inning. And I'm curious to know how long they'll leave him out there tonight and how much they'll let him pitch. I mean, something special is on the line. But again, it's a young arm who's dealt with injuries throughout his career. We'll see what happens. Here's a ground ball softly hit to second. O'Farrell's there. Pivots, throws to second for one. The throw to first, not in time. The Birds almost turn their third double play of the night. But instead, Torreira beats it out. But the lead runner, Dimitru, is cut down on the fielder's choice. 4-6 there. It's one of those things where I'm just going to come out and say it. Look, I'm the Ironbirds broadcaster, and it's pro Ironbirds all the time, 100% of the time. These are my guys. But I'm going to get up for this. I mean, this is a big situation, and it's my job as the broadcaster of this game overall to paint the picture, provide the context, get amped up for what Curtis is doing. I mean, it is just special when you kind of forget what side you're on here, who you're a fan of and all that, and you just appreciate what a guy's doing out on a baseball diamond. And Christian Curtis, the star of the night. There's a swing and a miss. Good pitch from Barnhart. And he gets one past Giovanni Plancart. Plancart walked his last time up. He is 0 for 1, lined out to right his first time. Big hole on the right side for him. 1-1, swing and a miss. It's 1 and 2. Whether it's Curtis who finishes this thing, or if it's going to end up being a combined perfect game, no-hit bid situation, when you look at it in a vacuum, forgetting who's on the mound, the Grasshoppers are 9 outs away from a perfect game. That's what's going on right now tonight in Aberdeen. 1-2, fouled back. It's a good pitch by Barnhart. And Plancart just got a piece. Dimitru, who led off this seventh inning with a single, then was erased on a fielder's choice, led off the fifth inning with a homer to deep left. That broke a scoreless tie. And then a sack fly from Will Taylor, scoring Connor Griffin, gave Greensboro an insurance run in the sixth. Still 2-0 to this point. Runner goes, pitches outside. Here's the throw from Urban into center field off the bounce. Over and gets to it quickly, but not before Torreira gets to third. So a stolen base for Emmanuel Torreira. Not a bad throw down by Cole Urban. O'Farrell did everything he could to pick that. He couldn't. And tough one for Urban. It goes down as an E2. And now a big insurance run 90 feet away for Greensboro with only one out in this seventh inning. Plancart the batter, counts full, infield's in for the Birds. Next pitch, popped up, shallow center field. O'Farrell is out, and Stafford, the right fielder, in to make the catch. Not deep enough for the Hoppers to try it, and Torreira stays put at third. Nice job by Barnhart to get weak contact and induce a fly ball that wasn't deep enough for the Hoppers to try to score. You know, if it's a one-run game, if the Hoppers are down one or it's a tie game, they might try that there. Up a couple of runs, maybe playing it a little bit more conservatively, knowing that you've got another chance here with two outs to do it. Pitch to Berg, misses high and away. Berg bounced into a double play his last time up. He walked his first time up, but what he's doing defensively is of more note tonight. He's caught six perfect innings from Christian Curtis. A catcher, what a catcher does in that situation means a lot. I mean, you cannot forget about a catcher's work in a perfect game and a no-hitter. They are so important to the eventual ending of those perfect games and no-hitters. Saw the value of that here in Aberdeen last year, 1-1. The Ironbirds threw a combined no-hitter on July 19th, 2024. It was the first game after the All-Star break. Four pitchers for the Birds, Zach Fruit, Davey Cruz, Preston Johnson, and Kyle Verbitsky, with Adam Retzbach behind the dish, combined for the third no-hitter in franchise history, first in Aberdeen. And what Retz did behind the plate that night was so big for the Birds. Swing and a miss. Barnhart picks up his first strikeout, and he is through an inning and two-thirds scoreless tonight. Strands a runner at third with one out, gets the next two in order, and the inning is over. Time to stretch here in Aberdeen. We'll see if the Birds can get some runs when we go to the home seventh after this. They trail 2-0. Stay locked in on MILB-TV and Bally Live. Two nothing hoppers over the Birds. Bottom of the seventh inning in Aberdeen. Game one of three this weekend here on the 4th of July between the Ironbirds and the Grasshoppers. The Birds, no base runners through six innings. That's right, Christian Curtis, who is now out of the game. Six perfect innings with a career-high 10 strikeouts. Top of the order, here's Austin Overn, takes a strike from the new arm for the Hoppers. It's right-hander Jake Shirk, 6 feet 2 inches tall, 23 years old, from Fort Wayne, Indiana. 18th round pick last year. 0-1 to Overn, and that's outside. Well, all nine hitters in the Ironbirds lineup had two cracks at Christian Curtis. Nobody reached base. And now the top of the order in the seventh, Overn, O'Farrell, and Estrada. Corners up a little bit. Next pitch from Shirk, ripped foul up the first base line. Tough position for Jake Shirk to be in. It's a 2-0 lead for Greensboro, so he's got the lead to work with. But he's tasked with continuing a perfect game bid. Christian Curtis, a career-best 10 strikeouts in six perfect innings. I think it's safe to say that that's the best outing of his young career so far. He was fantastic and just special to watch from the perspective of just being a baseball fan without, you know, having any ties to either team. You put that aside, it was special what Christian Curtis did tonight. Unfortunately, he won't get a chance to keep it going. But 85 pitches, 55 strikes, he was so good. Punched out the side in order to end his night and struck out five of the last six that he faced. 1-2 to Overn. Tried to check his swing. He went around, according to the base umpire Tatum Littleton. Throw down to first to complete the strikeout. And Overn is gone on the strikeout and 2-3 putout. That brings up Griff O'Farrell. The Birds down to their final eight outs in the game, still without a base runner. Still plenty of baseball left. Now, it's worth noting that although the Birds don't have a base runner to this point in the seventh inning, they're still only down two runs. So whenever they get their first base runner, the tying runs come into the plate. One swing changes the game. O'Farrell takes outside, counts 1-0. Rivas is up at third. Plancard at first is off the line. Perfect game bid is at 6 1/3 innings between Christian Curtis, who went six, and Jake Shirk, who's retired the first batter that he's faced. Now time is out. Catcher Derek Berg is going to adjust something. Looks like the strings of his mitt came a little loose. He's done a great job behind the dish tonight. Last year there were three no-hitters in like a week span in the South Atlantic League. 1-0. That one misses low. It's 2-0. And there were two on one night. The night that the Ironbirds threw their combined no-hitter here in Aberdeen on July 19th. The Hudson Valley Renegades threw a no-hitter as well. And the no-hitter officially went in the books because Rock Reggio hit a walk-off home run for Hudson Valley that night. Really weird situation. 9 no-hit innings, but they hadn't won the game. It was tied. 3-0. That's into O'Farrell. It's 3-1. The Jersey Shore Blue Claws this season, just a couple days ago, completed a combined no-hitter. Three pitchers finished that one off. See if the Grasshoppers can add to that total. 3-1, grounded foul out to third. O'Farrell chopped that one off of his foot. So from 3-0 to full. We'll see if Shirk can get him here. Like I said, if the Birds get a base runner, they bring the tying run to the plate. So it's got to be deflating to be on the wrong end of a perfect game bid to this point. Knowing that you're still very much in it makes it a little less deflating. 3-2 pitch, foul tipped, and we'll do it again. We've seen multiple three-ball counts in this game. And every time Christian Curtis was faced with one, he battled back to get an out. Jake Shirk trying to do the same here. Right-hander set on the hill. And now the big payoff pitch. Swing and a miss. He got him on strikes. And the punch-outs continue to pile up for this Greensboro pitching staff. 12 in the game, 10 for Curtis, 2 for Shirk. And that brings up Aaron Estrada. Estrada bounced to second in the first. He flew out to left in the fourth. Grounded to first, handled there by Plancart. Steps on first himself. 7 perfect innings from the Greensboro Grasshoppers pitching staff. 6 from Christian Curtis, 1 so far from Jake Shirk. The Birds are down to their final 6 outs without a base runner. The perfect game bid is intact. And after 7 innings, it's Greensboro 2, Aberdeen nothing. We'll head to the top of the 8th next on the Ironbirds Broadcast Network. Top of the 8th inning at Ripken Stadium in Aberdeen. Greensboro 2, Aberdeen nothing. The Grasshoppers pitching staff has combined for 7 perfect innings. Now here in the 8th, Zane Barnhart goes back to work. Top of the order, Connor Griffin, Kaner Delgado, and Will Taylor. Griffin singled the lead off the sixth. He scored the second run of the night for the Hoppers. Swings and fouls one away, and the count is 0-1. Connor Griffin, the ninth overall pick in the draft last year. First high school player taken in the draft. He was committed to LSU, the team that just won the national championship. But he wisely decided to sign and take the offer from the Pirates. 0-2, called strike three on the outer half. Zane Barnhart punches out Connor Griffin, and there's out number one in the eighth. Right-hander Devin Kirby Williams is up in the bullpen for the Ironbirds, a new addition to the Orioles organization. Knuckleballer, another Arizona Fall League guy that I got to know a little bit. I'll tell you that story when he comes in. But one up, one down in the eighth for Barnhart. Might be two up, two down. Here's Delgado, who swings and pops one up to the left side. And the shortstop, Arias, makes the call. Two outs. Well, nice job by Zane Barnhart to get one of the best prospects in baseball, arguably the best prospect that hasn't debuted in the big leagues among prospect rankings. And then another quick out after that. The story tonight, Christian Curtis, the young right-hander in the Pirates organization who has battled injuries and a lot of adversity in his career. Six perfect innings with a career-high 10 strikeouts on 85 pitches. Then in the seventh, right-hander Jake Shirk came out of the pen and retired all three that he faced. And now, six outs away from a perfect game bid. We'll see if the Grasshoppers can finish it off or see if the Ironbirds can find a way to get a base runner. Birds trail just 2-0. 0-1, fouled back, it's 0-2. Taylor singled back in the fourth, a sack fly to tack on an insurance run in the sixth. Barnhart stranded a runner at third in the seventh inning. And now is trying to complete 2 2/3 out of the bullpen tonight. 0-2, two-out pitch coming up. Barnhart ready, glove in front of his face. Out of the windup, misses, and that one goes to the backstop. Team-high 23rd appearance of the season for Barnhart. Last pitched on June 29th at Hub City. Next pitch fouled away. Count stays at 1-2. Barnhart has already thrown his longest outing of the year. Or he's tied his longest outing of the year. No, he's over it. I'm all messed up trying to add up the thirds of an inning here. 1-2, got him. Nice pitch by Barnhart. Went with the heater up in the zone. Three strikeouts in 2 2/3 scoreless innings tonight. He's worked a season high out on the bump, and he's looked great doing it. 1-2-3 go the Hoppers. But they lead it 2-0, and two pitchers have combined for a perfect game bid through seven. We'll see if it continues when we go to the bottom of the eighth. Stay locked in with us on MILB-TV and Bally Live. Right-handed reliever Jake Shirk back to work for the Hoppers here in the bottom of the eighth. The Ironbirds without a base runner through seven innings tonight. 21 up, 21 down. Christian Curtis, the first 18. Jake Shirk, the last three. It's 2-0 Greensboro. First pitch to Anderson De Los Santos, low and away. It's De Los Santos, Arias, and Mordan. De Los Santos and Arias both 0-for-2 with a couple of strikeouts. Mordan a pop out and a fly out so far tonight. 1-0 pitch, swing and a miss. The Greensboro Grasshoppers 6 outs away from history here in Aberdeen, looking to throw the first perfect game in this ballpark. De Los Santos calls for time. Counts 1-1. This is just Shirk's fourth appearance at High A. Next pitch, that one's a little bit low. It's 2-1 on De Los Santos. Christian Curtis with the outing of his career tonight. A career-high 10 punch-outs. He retired all 18 batters he faced. He did it on 85 pitches. 2-1, fouled away, 2-2, and that one hurt. De Los Santos in a lot of pain as he stumbles up the third base line, and now he goes to a knee. He is in a lot more pain than I originally thought. Tori Atencio, the Ironbirds head athletic trainer, along with development coach Danny Fajardo and manager Ryan Gall out to check on De Los Santos. Fajardo out there to translate. That one got him good. Fouled it into his knee. It looks like it's his right knee. Oh, left knee, probably. I don't know. I can't really tell. I can't tell what knee that Tori's checking out. Don't have replay either. Actually, it does look like his right knee. So somehow he fouled that off of his back knee. Now he's trying to flex it a little bit and walk around. Gets a round of applause from the home crowd here in Aberdeen. So he will step back in that righty batter's box and hit. Two strikes on him, it's 2-2. As Jake Shirk looks to keep the perfect game bid alive for Greensboro. To two, just inside, and the count's full. We've seen plenty of three ball counts tonight. At least four that I can think of. Another one here. Shirk ready to rock. De Los Santos ready in the box. Payoff pitch. Called strike three on the outer half. Four up, four down for Shirk in relief. Three ball count, no problem. And now the Hoppers are 5 outs away from a perfect game. That brings up Leandro Arias. We're witnessing something special. Just from a baseball fan perspective, everybody can appreciate what the Greensboro Grasshoppers are doing tonight in Aberdeen, Maryland. First pitch to Arias. That's in for a strike, 0-1. The third baseman, Rivas, is up. The shortstop, Griffin, is shading up the middle about as far as he can go without crossing that second base bag. Straight away and deep on the right side for Delgado and Plancart. 0-1, make it 0-2, a fastball in there from Shirk. Greensboro pitching staff entered play with a 3.87 team ERA, sixth best in the league. Tonight, perfection. Perfect game bid through 7 1/3. 0-2, ground ball back up the middle, backhanded by Delgado at second, throws to first, 4 outs away from a perfecto. Arias grounds out, 4-3 on the putout. And that brings up Anudis Mordan. All four infielders back, playing Mordan to pull on the infield. Swing and a miss, the count's 0-1. The Grasshoppers are going to have to try to finish off this perfect game with fireworks going off in the distance, not around the ballpark, but just elsewhere off in the distance. It is 4th of July, you know. Guess you can expect that. 0-1, make it 0-2. Special performance from Christian Curtis, a special performance from Jake Shirk out of the bullpen. 23 up, 23 down to this point. One strike away from making it eight perfect innings. 0-2, that's off the plate. Can't say enough about what these guys have done, the defense behind them. A ball and two strikes on Mordan. Birds down 2-0. 1-2, swing and a miss, he got him. Eight perfect innings from the Greensboro Grasshoppers pitching staff. Six from Christian Curtis, two from Jake Shirk, another punch out. And after eight innings, the perfect game bid is intact. We'll go to the top of the ninth. Grasshoppers looking to extend their 2-0 lead. The Ironbirds will see if they can keep it where it is and then rally in the ninth. Stay locked in on MILB-TV and Bally Live. Top of the ninth inning here at Ripken Stadium in Aberdeen. Michael Marcantoniti with you on the call. Eight perfect innings from two Greensboro Grasshoppers pitchers. And now making his Ironbirds team debut in the top of the ninth inning, it's right-hander Devin Kirby, the knuckleballer who is a recent Orioles minor league signee. And he is now pitching out of the Birds bullpen. First pitch, knuckleball low and away. And it looks like Cole Ehrman has a bigger catcher's mitt that he's wearing to catch Devin Kirby. I'm going to have to ask Cole about that, if it's his, or I wonder if Devin Kirby travels with that and just gives it to whatever catcher he throws to. I'm curious, but either way, the Birds with a knuckleballer out on the mound right now, but that's not the lead. Eight perfect innings from Christian Curtis and Jake Shirk, six from Curtis, two from Shirk. We'll see who comes out for the ninth, and that one up and in on Rivas. It hit him. And he is not thrilled with that. So he's hit by the pitch in the left hand, shaking it off in a lot of pain. He'll head down to first base whenever he's ready. And now Ryan Gaul is going to come out and check with the home plate umpire Dominic Romero on something. But it's a hit batter. Rivas will head down to first. Hoppers looking to extend their lead. It's 2-0. They've got a perfect game bid intact. 24 up, 24 down for two Greensboro pitchers. Three outs to get in the bottom of the ninth. From an Ironbirds perspective, they don't have a base runner through eight. But if the score stays 2-0 going to the home half of the ninth, if they do get a base runner, then the tying run comes to the plate, and then one swing ties it. And that's what we're looking at right now. 14 strikeouts for the Greensboro pitching staff tonight, and no base runners. So just a quick visit from the training staff. And Blake Butler, the manager for the Hoppers. Devin Kirby, the knuckleballer, will go back to work. Like a lot of knuckleballers, Kirby well-traveled in his baseball career, pitched his college baseball at UConn. He's originally from California, 25 years old. Started his career in the Twins organization. Kirby was signed as an undrafted free agent on July 27th, 2023. Last season, 11 games in the FCL, 6 with the low-A Fort Myers Mighty Muscles in the Twins org. And then this year he started down with low-A Fort Myers, 15 appearances there, 4 appearances for low-A Delmarva after the Orioles signed him, and now up to Aberdeen. Pitch high to the backstop, and Rivas moves up to second on the wild pitch. Well, so much of throwing a knuckleball is controlling it. It can be a hit-or-miss pitch. Right-hander Mike Walsh is up in the Greensboro bullpen. We'll see if he gets the ninth. Counts 2-1 on P.J. Hilson. Grounded back up the middle. O'Farrell's there behind second. Long throw to first, out number one in the ninth. Rivas moves to third, but a nice job by Kirby to get the out. In the bottom of the ninth inning for the Ironbirds, 7-8-9, Cunningham, Stafford, and Ehrman. Unless we see any pinch hitters, those are the three that'll hit. Mike Walsh, the right-hander, was up in the pen for Greensboro. We'll see if he gets the nod. First pitch strike in there from Kirby to Dimitru. It's 0-1. Infield is in all the way around for the Ironbirds. Pitch inside, 1-1. That one's outside, 2-1. At this point, everybody's just waiting to see what happens in the bottom of the ninth inning. Now it's 3-1 on the batter, Dimitru. Swing and a miss, counts full. Dimitru's had a nice night. He is the only player in this game with multiple hits. He homered in the fifth to get the Hoppers on the board. He added a single in the seventh. Next pitch, chopper to short. Arias has it. Throw to the plate is in time. So is the tag. Got him. 6-3 on the put out. The Ironbirds cut down the run at the plate. And there are two outs in the ninth. Dimitru safe at first on the fielder's choice. The Birds did exactly what they needed to do. Cut that run off. Keep it a 2-0 game. And now with two gone and a runner at first, that brings up Emmanuel Torero, the right fielder. Birds down 2-0 in the top of the ninth. The Birds don't have a base runner through 8 innings. It's a perfect game bid for the Hoppers. That is the storyline tonight in the Dean. Pitch in for a strike. And the 1-1 from Kirby. That's in there as well. So from 1-0 to 1-2. Knuckleball has started to pick up a little bit. He started to throw it for strikes. Pink glove and all. Kirby ready with the 1-2. Runner goes. Pitch fouled back, and the count stays where it is. It's It's not easy trying to carve out a path as a knuckleballer at any level of baseball, especially at the professional level. That's what Devin Kirby is trying to do. 1-2 pitch. Called strike three, bottom of the zone. The knuckleball did its thing right there. And there's another strikeout for the Birds pitching staff. So Kirby gets through a scoreless inning. Backwards K to end it. And now here we go. Bottom of the ninth inning. 24 up, 24 down for two Grasshoppers pitchers. New arm coming in to try to finish off a combined perfect game. Stay locked in with us on MILB TV and Bally Live. It's 2-0 Greensboro. Bottom of the ninth inning from Aberdeen, Maryland. Michael Mark Cantonini with you on the call. The Greensboro Grasshoppers are three outs away from the first perfect game in this ballpark's history. Jake Cunningham, Ryan Stafford, and Cole Ehrman, 7-8-9, due up for the Ironbirds against right-hander Mike Walsh for Greensboro. First pitch fastball in for a strike, and it's 0-1 on Cunningham. Third baseman Rivas is shading close to that third base line. Middle infielders back deep. The first baseman Plancart deep and off the line. Outfielders straight away and deep. 0-1 to Cunningham. Breaking ball in there for a strike. It's 0-2. Christian Curtis with six innings and a career-high 10 strikeouts. Jake Shirk went the last two, retired all six that he faced. 24 up, 24 down. Bottom nine, Greensboro leads Aberdeen 2-0. Next pitch, swing and a miss, he got him. Two outs away from perfection, the Greensboro Grasshoppers pitching staff continues to get it done. 15 strikeouts tonight, and they have not allowed a base runner. Walsh on the season, 27 appearances, all out of the bullpen, a 2.55 ERA. This is a save situation, he already has three on the year. Here's Ryan Stafford, corners up, middle infielders back. First pitch to Stafford, breaking ball in for a strike. It's 0-1. If you're wondering when the last perfect game in minor league baseball was, it was a seven-inning combined perfect game on May 10th. 0-1 popped up right side of the diamond. Who wants it? Plancart is over. Still waiting, and he's there to make the catch. Two outs in the ninth, one out away from a perfect game. May 10th, 2025, Jonah Tong and TJ Shook for the AA Binghamton Rumble Ponies in the Mets organization combined for a seven-inning perfecto. 6 2/3 from Tong, and then the final out recorded by Shook. The last individual minor league perfect game, Connor Gray for the Kane County Cougars, September 1st, 2017, a nine-inning perfecto. Here's Cole Ehrman, first pitch is up, 1-0. 26 up, 26 down. Corners in, middle infielders back, outfielders straight away. A little bit of a breeze in Aberdeen. Here's the 1-0 to Ehrman. He takes a strike. It's 1-1. Grasshoppers looking for the second no-hitter of the week in the South Atlantic League. One out away from a perfect game. 1-1, fouled back. It's 1-2. It's an Iron Birds crowd here in Aberdeen, a season-high sellout crowd. But everybody can appreciate what we are seeing tonight here at Ripken Stadium. A ball and two strikes on Ehrman. Walsh ready, and the pitch got him! 27 up, 27 down. Perfection for the Greensboro Grasshoppers. Christian Curtis went the first six. Jake Shirk the next two. And Mike Walsh the final inning. 27 up, 27 down. The Greensboro Grasshoppers celebrate a perfect game out on the diamond here at Ripken Stadium. An absolute masterpiece. Curtis to Shirk to Walsh. Absolutely incredible. 17 strikeouts between the three pitchers. 10 from Curtis, 4 from Shirk, and 2 from Walsh at the back end. Absolutely incredible. Just a phenomenal feat from the Greensboro Grasshoppers tonight in Aberdeen. And to think that Christian Curtis, the man who worked the first six innings of this perfect game, started the game with three straight balls out of the zone. It was a 3-0 count on Austin Overn. He came back to get him on strikes. Griff O'Farrell then had the count in his favor with three balls on him in the first. Curtis got him, and then the rest of the way, it wasn't that difficult. A few three-ball counts, that was pretty much it. There really weren't that many difficult plays in the field either. Jake Cunningham hit a ground ball to the left side of the field, leading off the third inning. The third baseman Rivas cut off the shortstop Griffin, made a throw across his body to first. The first baseman Plancart held the bag. Other than that, just a lot of easy outs. 16 strikeouts, no base runners tonight in Aberdeen. Perfection from the Greensboro Grasshoppers. Absolutely incredible. July 4th, 2025. Christian Curtis, Jake Shirk, and Mike Walsh combined for a perfect game with Derek Berg behind the dish. Just a phenomenal feat from the Greensboro Grasshoppers tonight. Again, Christian Curtis went six. He struck out a career-high 10 on 85 pitches. Jake Shirk followed with two perfect innings of his own. He struck out four. And then Mike Walsh in the ninth. Strikeout, pop out, strikeout. He got the final three with two more strikeouts. And it's a 16-strikeout, nine-inning perfect game for the Greensboro Grasshoppers on the 4th of July in Aberdeen, Maryland. Well, that was absolutely incredible. Look, there's a lot of Ironbirds fans tuned into this broadcast, and towards the end of this game, I probably sounded pretty pro-Greensboro towards the end, but it's my job as the broadcaster of the MILB TV game to call it as neutral as I can in a big moment like this, and then at the end of the game when the other team's got a chance to finish it off, I got to show out for their fans, their organization, and those guys out there who did that on the field tonight. That was absolutely incredible. It's the first time in my career that I've gotten to call a perfect game. You never know if you'll ever get to do it again. That was special. It really was. I will remember that for the rest of my life. That was special to be able to be the voice of that game. Not all of us broadcasters travel to do road games in the South Atlantic League. Greensboro's broadcasters do not travel. I don't travel on the road with the Ironbirds. So really, it was my duty to call that game and live up to the moment for the Grasshoppers, for the Pirates organization, and just for baseball fans everywhere. That was special. A 4th of July perfect game tonight in Aberdeen. Well, thanks to everybody who tuned in. There's really not a whole lot to go off of in this game recap. The game was scoreless through four innings. Then Titus Dimitriou hit a leadoff home run to left in the fifth. The Hoppers tacked on another run on a Will Taylor sack fly in the sixth. They didn't score the rest of the way. Two runs on five hits. But on the flip side, that's what really matters. 27 batters came to the plate for the Ironbirds, and the Greensboro Grasshoppers pitching staff retired all 27. A special performance from the three pitchers, Curtis, Shirk, and Walsh, and the catcher, Berg, behind the dish. What an incredible feat to do it in front of this crowd on the 4th of July with the baseball world keeping an eye on what's going on. Special, special, special performance. And shout out to everybody that was involved in it. That's it for me tonight, everybody. Ironbirds fans, hoping that we get a better outcome tomorrow and the rest of the weekend and the homestand, but think anybody on any level can appreciate perfection because that's what we saw tonight in Aberdeen. Well, we'll get you some final totals. With the win, the Grasshoppers improved to 55-23. They are 10-3 and in first place in the North Division second half standings. On the flip side, with the loss, the Ironbirds dropped to 29-49, and they are now 5-8 in the second half of play. For Greensboro, 2 runs on 5 hits, no errors. For Aberdeen, no runs, no hits, and 1 error. The win goes to Christian Curtis. He moves to 3-4. The loss to Cohen Aiken. He pitched really well, went 5 1/3 innings of 2-run ball, but he drops to 2-6 with the hard luck loss. Mike Walsh picks up the save. It's his 4th of the season. The game was played in a quick 2 hours and 12 minutes in front of 4,627 fans, a sellout season-high crowd at Ripken Stadium. Would have liked to see it on the Ironbird side, but everybody at the ballpark tonight got to witness history for the Greensboro Grasshoppers. A 9-inning perfect game. 3 pitchers combined, 6 innings from Christian Curtis, 2 innings from Jake Shirk, 1 inning from Mike Walsh, and then all 9 innings behind the plate for catcher Derek Berg. Special performance, fun game. For my outstanding production crew here in Aberdeen, my name is Michael Marcantonini. Thanks for tuning in as always. Fun night. I will be back on air tomorrow at 6:40 for the air show, and then first pitch at 7:05. Have a great night, everybody. Perfection from the Greensboro.